Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you on a Tuesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hope you had an enjoyable holiday weekend with family and friends, remembering those who served for sure. Coming up in 15 minutes, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. We'll talk college baseball and some college football with Mitch. That part of our usual Tuesday lineup, a little bit unusual. In 1 hour, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. We were off yesterday due to the remembrance. So Coach McBride today, it'll be a Tuesday with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. Pat Casey, head coach, Oregon State, the number one national seed and the host side for Nebraska baseball as they head west for a Friday showdown with Yale. They win that, and if Oregon State wins their opener against Holy Cross, it'll be Nebraska and Oregon State for another meeting this year. We'll talk with the head Beaver, Pat Casey, coming up. Numbers to get in, if you like, 466-3776-800-825-5865. Can tap the line if you like. Brought to you by Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. We're on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. Okay, so here's what we got going. Nebraska baseball. Listen, I hope you didn't have a doubt about them making the NCAA tournament. That said, I was not sure where they would end up. I was not sure what seed they would be. And clearly, and D1 Baseball did a great write-up on this, as did Sports Illustrated, clearly the Big Ten got some love this year, not only with the number of teams into the tournament, but also as a conference. The Big Ten was well-respected, highly thought of. And instead of getting a team that was supposed to be in, let's say Michigan, I think Michigan was 42-14, instead of shaving them off because Iowa won the Big Ten Conference Tournament and took a bid, a lot of times in past years, you're talking about two bids or one bid or maybe a couple. That's traditionally or historically what Big Ten baseball has gotten, and that's what they've deserved. Well, they have amped up. They are better. It's a better league. It's a deeper league. And Coach Erstad's been preaching that, not just to pump up what Nebraska's accomplished, but the guy knows good baseball, and good baseball is as follows. Indiana's a two seed. Nebraska, a two seed in the toughest region from a who's the top seed? Well, it's the number one national seed that's hosting. So you have the best team in college baseball that is waiting for you. Now, Nebraska has seen Oregon State this year. We'll get into that familiarity here in a second. And then you have Michigan, one of the last few teams in. But Michigan's a team that got in over some power names, over Miami. And over a Miami team that finished above 500 in conference play, finished ahead of Florida State in conference play. And they got in over South Carolina. So the Big Ten, unlike a lot of other leagues, rewarded, and the reason I think you reward the Big Ten, A, it's getting better, B, what they do in non-conference. And a lot of teams in Big Ten baseball go play some who's who teams. They'll head to Arizona. They'll head to California. They'll head to Florida. I mean, they'll do the, all right, we're stuck in snow up here. Let's go play. Let's go play the best. And it gets them ready for postseason. We'll see if that's the instance Nebraska has when it comes to a positive effect. But Coach Erstad, a few minutes with the media yesterday. Let's dive into what he was thinking as Mr. Schick and ESPN came on around noon. Did Coach Erstad, did Nebraska feel safe?
I mean, deep down, yeah, I'd like to think so. But of all my things that I deal with as a head coach, this is probably the most stressful time, that 20 to 40, 48-hour window where you just don't know the certainty of where you're going or if you're in or not in. But I felt pretty confident that our guys had done enough to position themselves for an opportunity at the postseason, and it was nice to see it get done right out of the gate and the announcement. So, again, I'm just excited for the boys to have another opportunity to play.
Not a lot of waiting. The anxiousness over very quickly, and more from Erstad here on just the power of the Big Ten and five teams in.
I'm not surprised. It's just, man, has the conference really improved since we've been here. And, you know, 2 years ago, five teams go. Last year, three teams go, and now five again. That's what we were looking for, that sustainability. You know, they've had years where they've been, you know, really solid and then maybe fade for a few years. But the ability to consistently get that many teams in, just it's exciting for the future of this conference. And, again, like I said, I mean, I think there was a possible regional team that didn't even play in the conference tournament in Michigan State. So just really exciting the direction this conference is going.
So, good write-up and good stuff from Mike Babcock covering Nebraska baseball, HaleVarsity.com. And there's Coach Erstad. So, listen, he loves what the Big Ten's doing. The Big Ten's been rewarded this year in the NCAA tournament. And you just don't know until you get that yes. So, what's it mean? What's it mean to you as a Nebraska baseball fan? How confident are you moving forward? Are you like, oh, God, we got to go play Oregon State? Or, hey, anything can happen. And here's my take on this. Here's what I think about Nebraska baseball moving forward. I don't think they're scared. I don't think they're frightened. I don't think they're puckering, okay, because of it being Oregon State. They've seen Oregon State. And guys that are seniors on this team, they've seen Oregon State more than once. Not just this year, but in past years. And I honestly think if you get them in a private moment, team or coach, and you ask them, you know, what do you think about Oregon State? They'll obviously give credit. Amazing pitching staff. They get a lot of key hits. They're not a power baseball club. I mean, they're what, 25, 24, low 20s home run numbers. But some extra base hits, good on the base paths, athletic team. And the Pac-12, I know I only got four teams in, but I mean, Stanford's a national seed. Arizona's a team Nebraska played. And UCLA got in and got a benefit of the doubt. Okay? So I think if you get them, if you get Nebraska in a real honest moment, they will look you in the eye and say, listen, A, thank you to Oregon State. You helped us grow up. B, I think they'll look at this opportunity and say, man, it is the mother of all mulligans. Why not go big versus go home? And they'll say, we didn't play our best baseball. You want proof of that? That was the first start for Myers. He went 3 1/3 inning, and it was not his best work. He will tell you that, and it's one of those grow-up opportunities. I mean, Myers in that first game, 3 1/3, two-run bomb hit off of him with two outs. You had 4 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and it was just a situation, too, where Nebraska couldn't get two out hits. Kind of reminds you of the Big Ten weekend. They had a lot of base runners and left a ton of people on against some better pitching. Iowa got a monstrous pitching performance from their lefty, and Maryland hung on and built the lead. But Nebraska in that 5-2 loss, the second game, not the first scouting, but the second game, couldn't push any runs across additionally in the second, third, fourth, or fifth with two out. I mean, and you had a bases loaded moment that could have taken the lead and given you momentum. So the second game in that surprise series, Nebraska lost 5-2, and they'll be like, man, that just wasn't us. We had chances. We got beat, give them credit, but I tell you what, we're not that far off. I think that's how they feel going in. And I think they feel, with due respect and attention given to Yale, because I think that's the other thing you got to worry about. You want dessert, but you got to eat your dinner. You got to eat dinner first against Yale. So don't look ahead, even though they're really excited, I think, to a man and coach to get another crack at Oregon State. And look at this stage. Look at this stage Oregon State's on. I mean, you want to get Nebraska baseball back to being thought of as a major player or peer. One weekend won't do it, but this will sure as hell help accelerate it. If you go take Oregon State down on the road in Corvallis, you might even get a regional, a super regional here, depending on how things shake out. If you take down the number one team in the country and in their box, mm-hmm. I mean, it's an opportunity like Nebraska had back when they were a year away from the College World Series with Komenee and all those guys out at Stanford. They were right there, and they didn't close the deal. Stanford beat them twice. I think it was super regionals. That was an incredible team that Nebraska had. Mm. This team's doesn't have a ton of stars, but has a good group, good senior leadership. So I think Nebraska's jacked. I think if you would have asked them, they'd probably say, send me to Oregon State. And not the fans, but I think that's who Erstan would choose to play, just because of the great respect and the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, look, this team can't overlook anybody. They're not that good to do that.
They won't.
So they got to look forward to Yale.
They may get beat by Yale, mm-hmm. but they won't overlook Yale.
And you should still be confident because of the way you played in the regular season. You were the Big Ten champions of the regular season. Now, it didn't end well in the Big Ten tournament, but, you know, a lot of people are saying lately, you know, how important is that Big Ten championship? You know, are they really throwing their important starters or not? So just keep things moving. Give yourself a shot against Oregon State, but first you got to take care of the Yale. They won their conference. Those are some smart boys. You know, you got to take care of business first.
Well, the thing about Yale is because of their academic standards, they recruit from all over the world and in the country. Mm-hmm. And if you're smart enough to play at Yale and you're a sweet baseball player, they will come find you, and that's a hard no to give them.
Yeah,
based on their history and success. So Yale's got some ball players, specifically some pitching. Coach Erstad yesterday was asked about Cut 10 here on his program success, and is this validation? And he hates that. Listen to the tone of his voice. But I get a kick out of what he's trying to continue to do, and I mean that in a applause way, where he's trying to set a standard, make your standard similar to his standard. And unless you win it all, nothing's good enough. I mean, it's a Saban process thing. I mean, that's essentially what it is. There's a linear A through Z you take for success with no shortcuts. And then once you do it, okay, smile about it for a second and then go do it again. But here's Coach Erstad.
You're getting pretty deep into it. I'm not big on validating stuff. That's not kind of what I think about or talk about, but, you know, I think just I'm glad that those guys, you know, every group's different. I always talk about they each team's going to go through different things. I feel like they have had a lot of obstacles in their way that they've overcome and fought through, and for them to get to this point, to win a conference championship, to now have the opportunity to go play in regionals, I'm just really proud of how they've handled a lot of things, and some things we're not going to talk about that happened, and just there's things that happen and they have to deal with, and they've done a great job with that, and that's a credit to them. And now, like I said, we get to play bonus baseball, so see what happens.
He's super proud of them, but he said it right with bonus baseball. Again, I think Nebraska embraces this challenge. They would probably pick Oregon State because they had the familiarity, they had the experience. There is some confidence there, and they know they didn't play their best baseball, and you have to be damn near perfect against Oregon State. They are 49-4, for the love of God. Here's what Nebraska did. 10 left on base, and they were 1-for-8, 1-through-3 part of their lineup in the loss, in the close loss. In the beatdown where they got beat 10-1, Waldron, 7 runs allowed, 10 hits, 3 1/3. Now, Oregon State will do that to people.
Mm-hmm.
But there were 6 walks, 2 errors, and 12 left on base by Nebraska.
Man.
So we're talking 22 left on base in two games against Oregon State. Seven total walks, one way worse than the other. And Nebraska did get some hits off of Heimlich. You can't touch him, 0.81 ERA lefty cat for Oregon State. Seven innings, seven hits, one run, one walk, four strikeouts. That's back in Arizona. That's back in February.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen him.
Yeah, that sounded like Royals numbers, leaving that amount of guys on base, not bringing them home.
Well, I can't help you with that. More from Erstad as we wrap up here, talking Nebraska headed to Corvallis, that next step for the program, and how it happens for them.
Win a regional? That'd be, yeah. I mean, there's no participation awards. We're not looking for a 1-2 or an 0-2 and a pat on the back and say, hey, nice job, tough regional. No, that's not how this works. You know, we're going into this thing with the idea of winning that regional. I don't care who we're playing. So it's what we do. And, you know, is it a tough challenge? Sure, no doubt about it. But we're not letting go if we're not going there to win. I mean, that's what this group thinks. That's how they think, and that's how we're going to continue to think.
Might as well go big. And they won Oregon State. We'll see how it works. A little more than an hour away. Head state head coach at Oregon State, Pat Casey, with us. Mitch Sherman next.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Hey, thanks for your time. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Welcome in Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, how we doing? Thanks for the time.
I am doing great. I am the true multitasking parent this week. We got the little dead space here between when school gets out and summer activities start, so kids are with me. If you hear anybody yelling in the background, no crisis. Just we're doing a lot of things at once.
Well, I like that. And I was going to say, if someone's yelling in the background, it might be Miami baseball fans for not getting in. But that's neither.
No reason
here
to yell. 30 wins is all you. That doesn't do it.
No, it doesn't. I wanted to get your reaction here, not just committee wise, but immediate reaction for Nebraska as they head to Oregon State.
Yeah, well, it's a tough draw, but I guess if you're going to do some damage in the postseason, you might as well just face the best from the very beginning. Oregon State, you know, and I haven't seen Oregon State play this year. We don't get a lot of Pac-12 baseball on TV nationally. I imagine there's a fairly good chance I'm going to see Oregon State in a couple of weeks in Omaha, unless Nebraska has something to say about it. But the Beavers are going to be at home through the postseason as long as they keep winning, and they have been they've been unbeatable about everywhere. An early season loss to Ohio State, and then three individual games in the Pac-12, won every Pac-12 series. So just a dominant bunch from the beginning, and they do it on the mound with pitching. So Nebraska's going to have to go in there and probably beat Oregon State twice if it wants to escape that regional. I don't know that you can expect Yale and who's the other team there?
Holy Cross.
Hey, it may happen. It's happened in Lincoln before in regionals when we didn't expect it. You go back about 10 years and you've seen teams with names like that can come onto a baseball field in regional play and upset the big power. So if I'm Nebraska, I'm hoping that I don't have to beat Oregon State twice. That somebody else can do it once and then you do it once as the number two seed. But they'll be tested in Corvallis, that's for sure. And, you know, good challenge for Darren Erstad and his bunch. And I guess in some way probably a good thing that Nebraska saw Oregon State early in the year in Arizona. And maybe you can take that awe factor out of it a little bit if the Huskers and Beavers do meet on the diamond.
I don't think Nebraska's over-comfortable, if that's the best way to put it. I just think they're I think there's more confidence knowing you've seen him and you've seen Heimlich and you've seen Oregon State, and Oregon State doesn't need any help. But Nebraska, when it comes to runners left on and errors and just pitching and in hitting, they were all two out hits. I mean, it, kind of what you saw in the Big Ten tournament. But Nebraska knew probably early on this season, they'd have to play their best baseball to beat a good Oregon State team, and I think they were a bit in awe. I don't think they're as, I mean, there's respect, but I think they're as in awe because of being able to see them and knowing what they're about. I mean, I think they feel pretty good. I think Coach Erstad wouldn't have it any other way. If you got to go somewhere, let's go to the best and see what we can do.
Yeah, I don't know that despite that 49-4 record, which is incredible, I don't know that, you know, I would say this is any more difficult than going to LSU or going to Florida or going to North Carolina. Oregon State had its day in college baseball where it was the program in 2006 and 2007. But since then, you know, they've been a little bit like Nebraska. They've made it back to Omaha one time, while Nebraska hasn't since 2005. But this is not a consistent postseason dominant team. I think there's some feeling out that needs to be done on Oregon State's part, too. This is not the kind of team, the kind of program in the last decade that has just rolled out of bed and into the College World Series. So they've got something to prove, too. And, you know, I may have been, if I'm in Nebraska's shoes, more inclined to be okay with that kind of a situation than if you were sent into the into the lion's den in SEC country.
Mitch, let's talk a little bit here Nebraska football for a second, and thoughts here moving forward. No statement of decision yet by the athletic department or Coach Riley, but a statement about gathering facts and aware of the situation with Antonio Reed and Stanley Morgan Jr. That happened Friday. What are your thoughts here as Nebraska moves forward? What's your reaction to the news?
Well, initially, seeing the word felony was very concerning. Anything is concerning when you're talking about a drug-related arrest. So, you know, I'm not in a position to pass judgment on these guys or, you know, say whether, you know, it's... whether you think it's the law is right, I don't know. I just know that if you're in a position of a guy like Stanley Morgan, who is going to be considered a leader of this team, a leader on this team, and clearly one of your most talented guys, you know, he needs to be smarter than that. They both need to be smarter than that. They knew they weren't putting themselves in a good position, whether they got caught or not. And you know, there's going to be a repercussion within the program. Spot for Mike Riley to be able to wait, I guess, and see what happens. Maybe he'll see what happens with the court situation, or he may just decide to impose disciplinary action on his own before that happens. But he doesn't have to do anything right now because it's not even June 1st. So I could easily see him suspended for a game. See both of them suspended for a game. You know, if that's the case, then you know, you learn real quick as a guy who is now, I mean, I'm talking here about Stanley Morgan, a guy who is in a leadership position, that if you do something like that, you're quickly letting a lot of people down. And I'm talking about his coaches and his teammates.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Mitch, wanted your opinion on that. It came out Friday. We're talking to you Tuesday, not to prolong the topic, but would love your opinion, and thanks for giving that. Is that something you've had a chance to talk with coaches about, or is it something that's even been on your radar? You do such a great job nationally at covering college football. Just the stress that recreational marijuana use causes college coaches, it seems like. And it's just not a Nebraska thing. It's not just a SEC thing. I mean, it's something the coach has got to deal with.
Yeah, and I think most coaches lay it out pretty clearly for their players that it's not to be accepted in their program, and that, you know, when guys represent the university, that they need to follow the rules. And if the rules are, you know, you can't go to the bar during the season, even when you're 21, 22 years old, then you follow those rules. Mm-hmm. And if recreational marijuana use is illegal in your state, which it's not in Nebraska and it's not in Florida, then you follow those rules too. Just because there's a evolving culture in our country on that subject, I don't know that it necessarily blurs the line for college football coaches. It's not all about what's legal and what's illegal. It's about what kind of rules your program has put in place. And I think it's probably pretty clear for Nebraska players and, you know, players at every program that I'm aware of, that you've got to stay away from that. not just during the season, but out of the, when it's out of the season, and you know, for the entire time that you represent that program. So I don't know that. I mean, it's prevalent for sure, and it has been probably for a long time, but I don't know that the lines within college football or college sports period are necessarily blurred any more now than they were 5-10 years ago when it was illegal in all 50 states.
Mitch, want to end with this? Some projections here for super regionals. Some teams you think will advance on, and any surprises? I guess that may crash the party super regional wise for the baseball tournament.
Yeah, I think. I mean, there's a temptation to always just go with those teams that have numbers next to them, 1 through 8. And if recent history has taught us anything, it's that you don't pick those teams to win the national championship and to all end up at the College World Series. 11 of the last 13 champions have come from the pool of programs that were not seeded 1 through 8. So I haven't gone through and made my picks for Omaha or for, you know, next to win this weekend and be in the super regionals. But the one thing that I will, if I do make picks like that, or if I was going to, would be to pick some two seeds, pick some of those teams that are seeded on the one line, but not with the national seed next to them, to make it to Omaha. I think Virginia, a team that has experience in the postseason and won the national championship 2 years ago and was snubbed out of a host with 42 victories, is going on the road to TCU. Is, you know, I think I'd probably pick the Cavs to do some damage in this tournament. I don't know if they'll make it back to Omaha, but that seems to be the kind of team that has a track record of recent success in the postseason. And when you look at that regional, and not just to focus on that one, but TCU as the host there and the number 6 national seed is trying to become this year the first team to make it to 4 straight College World Series since North Carolina in the latter part of the last decade. I think it was 06 to 09 that the Tar Heels did it. So there's some pressure on TCU, and TCU just lost its best player to season-ending surgery, Lucan Baker, which is a sad thing for people who are going to watch the College World Series, because he turned TD Ameritrade Park into his personal launching pad last year. So we won't get to see that this year if the Horned Frogs are back. But my advice would be to try to find those teams outside of the national seeds who are playing well, and they'll probably be 3 or 4 teams next weekend in super regionals from outside of the power four, power five conferences, in addition to some of the national seeds going down.
Mitch Sherman, he'll be covering college baseball and keeping an eye on it for you, ESPN.com and magazine, and follow him and find him if you haven't already at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, great to catch up again, and thanks for a few minutes talking baseball and some football. Always appreciate it, and we'll run you down next week, sir.
Absolutely. Have a great rest
you
of the
too.
Week.
Take care, man. Thanks a lot. Mitch Sherman with us on Hail Varsity Radio. I want to remind you about Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. A lot of baseball that segment. Let's tell you about some diamonds that are pure-grown and exclusively with Sauter Heyman, 100% real diamonds grown in the lab instead of mined from the earth. And what those characteristics they have from earth-mined diamonds are very, well, they sparkle. They're beautiful. They're kind of hypnotic, frankly. They're eco-friendly, and they are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mined diamonds. Go see them for yourself with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Those pure-grown diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. They become some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. That says a ton right there. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Rod West in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Less than 20 minutes, Charlie McBride will join us. Head coach at Oregon State, Pat Casey, on the way with Hail Varsity Radio.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks to Mitch Sherman. Charlie McBride coming up in 20 minutes. Pat Casey, head coach, Oregon State, on the way. Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, and .com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. So this just came out, and some tweets from our friend Cedric Golden, Austin American Statesman, former Nebraska recruit, tight end, part of that 2017 class that ended up flipping from Nebraska to Texas, Reese Lehto. He got busted and is now allowed to enroll at Texas. Plea deal reached on a drug charge. So here's what the word is from Texas. They will allow incoming freshman tight end Reese Lehto to keep his scholarship and enroll in school in the wake of, say it with me, felony drug charges being pleaded down to a misdemeanor. So this kind of piques my interest in light of last week's news and the need for accuracy between felony and misdemeanor. So the misdemeanor side of things is this. Based on several discussions with people who know Reese well as a person, both on and off the field, he's been a good student, highly regarded teammate, and leader among his peers. This statement from the Texas athletic director, this isn't Coach Herman. Mike Perrin said this today. All indications are that he's a young man with a history of good character and behavior who made a poor decision. So Lehto, he's out of Jinx, Oklahoma. Very good program, you know, the Jinx High School football program in Oklahoma is one of the best. He was arrested in February on a charge of drug possession with intent to distribute within 2,000 feet of a school. That according to the Austin American Statesman. Lehto, 20 Xanax pills, 19 of which hidden in his underwear, and $1,300 cash. Last week, a plea agreement with Tulsa County prosecutors, 4 years probation. This more from Perrin, the AD at Texas. I recently met with Reese and his parents and found him to be contrite, sincere, and accountable for his actions. He's taken ownership of his mistake and the consequences that come with it. He understands that he will strongly be held to a very high standard of behavior at the University of Texas. He committed to me that he will take this negative action and turn it into a positive outcome. Reese is determined to make this situation a turning point in his life and not an event that defines his character. So he picked Texas over LSU, TCU, and Nebraska. So here's the math on this. Herman was like, this guy can ball. Think of the mismatch. Think about the on-field ability. Okay? Why do you put up with something like this? And a yes, people deserve second chances. Okay?
Yep.
So why do you give a guy a second chance? Well, because you're supposed to give guys a second chance, especially if you can play tight end and
then you need them.
Smoke the Big 12 with seam routes.
Yeah, but it would have been easy for them just to wash their hands of it, having him never played it down for them.
But for the AD to make these statements, not the head coach, shows a couple of things. One, that the AD's made a hire after a giant payout to get Strong out of there. You've also moved on from Mack Brown, the guy who brought you a national championship. And I think that's a different AD. But the point is I think some of the JR and Bobby Ewings down there in oil country know how good this kid is. They went to bat for him. The interview happened with the AD. And if you're Reese, God love you for owning up. Listen, the AD said you owned up, so I'm going to say you owned up. Good for you owning up. But what... Here's what I don't get is, and I understand that in high schools and kids make awful mistakes, and good thing I wasn't in trouble for a lot of things, okay? But $1,300 and Xanax and 20 pills, 19 found in his undies, clearly not a boxer day.
No.
More of either a whitey tidy or the boxer brief. So did that just dawn on him that day? Hey, guess what? I'm short on cash for this unofficial trip to Texas or wherever. Maybe I can get a hold of some Xanax. And maybe this is my first time doing it, because it would dawn on me for a first-time offense to put on, you know, these pills in my underwear. Around a school zone, mind you. Mm-hmm. I mean, something had to go alarm bells for him to get busted, have them on him, and get charged with a felony. Here's my law and order theory. This has been going on a while. Someone said somebody straightened Reese out. And let's pull the sting off here. Probably not the first, hopefully the last time he's selling pills.
Yeah.
And the prescription drug market in high school is awful. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Not a smart move by him. You brought up an interesting question last segment to Mitch Sherman about, you know, do these coaches have stress? Do they worry about, you know, they've got over 100 guys on their roster, and do they worry about doing the wrong thing?
You have 105 that are on your roster, and I think maybe it maxed your roster size now, 125. Mm-hmm.
But just being the son of two former head football coaches, high school and college, and trying to put my feet in their shoes and just trying to, you know, you're taking care of these kids, trying to corral them, make sure they do the right things. But it's not a matter of if they do something wrong. It's sadly just when. And I think that can be very stressful for coaches.
Well, it's when, and then how big is the pile you stepped in? And is it something that they grow out of? Or
I mean, yeah.
Are they always looking for a cheap and easy buck?
105 guys following all the rules. Like, the chances of that happening are slim.
And let's just be straight here for a second. You need some dudes with some serious anger issues between the white lines.
Mm-hmm.
You need a certain type of crazy to play football. And you need a big-time type of crazy to play defense. And you have a guy on the offense that's supposed to stress those defenses, the tight end spot, in a spread offense with a quarterback that can find them. I mean, if you're Herman, you gladly let your AD take the arrows on this.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But sadly, the state of Texas is not unlike a lot of different places that love football. Let's give the guy a second chance, hope we're right on him, and see what he can do on the field. That's your attitude. And that's fine. You're giving a dude a second chance. But I just, the Xanax underwear and $1,300 and the old school zone thing, that's not good. Coach McBride, 15 minutes away on Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Coming up, Coach McBride and Coach Pat Casey, Oregon State. I want to remind you about seatbelt awareness. Your friends at the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Click it or ticket. The campaign is, well, about your safety. 7 out of 10, too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they've been wearing seatbelts, a minimum of 69, it'd be alive. So you click it, you save more lives. And over 60 law enforcement agencies on the lookout for seatbelt violations. That means they'll be writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. So please click it or ticket. Again, this message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. A lot to get into with Coach McBride here in about 10 minutes. We'll talk. Well, Saban's been raving around about the run-pass option. He's freaking out about it. Spring/summer meetings for the SEC going on. Saban's just all sorts of ticked off today. And we'll have some of that audio for you tomorrow, we hope. He's losing his mind. It's great. He did this last year.
Yeah, when does he not do this, it seems like?
No, he's just wound up and spitting fire. So we'll get Coach's thoughts here on just, again, giving guys a second chance with Leto, his thoughts on Nebraska with Morgan and Reed. That will get caught up with Coach McBride on the run pass option. And some of the summer workout do's and don'ts. So Coach McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, a Tuesday with Charlie coming up. What are you showing me? Oh, that's right.
We've got a family four-pack VIP to the Salt Dogs game tomorrow.
Very important person. Family four-pack VIP, that means the seats are awesome. Not a bad seat in Haymarket. Caller four. Caller four right now for the VIP family four-pack for tomorrow night's baseball game with the Salt Dogs. Caller four. Right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800, 825-5865, caller 4 now with Hail Varsity and ESPN. A family four-pack, VIP seats, yours if you're caller 4 and you're nice to TJ. 800-825-5865, caller 4, a four-pack for the Salt Dogs game tomorrow night. VIP seats. So I would have him go more in-depth what VIP means, just how sweet the seating is. But he's answering your call. Still a shot. Caller 4, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Four-pack of tickets yours. VIP seats for the Dogs tomorrow with ESPN and Hail Varsity. Really do think Nebraska and Coach Erstad excited about this opportunity. They will go play confidently against Yale. The senior class has been to three regionals. And they want a shot at the perceived champs, that being Oregon State. They're not fearful. They're probably pretty confident. And you're not going blind into this. On the way, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride next on Hail Varsity.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better, better,
we get better,
better. We get beat, beat,
we get beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
In hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Oregon State baseball coach Pat Casey, 30 minutes away. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie on a Tuesday. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, brought to you by your friends at Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus will help you find focus. Emeritus, protecting loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also helping protect your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. Emeritus keeping promises for 130 years and counting, giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand by the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Proud to bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how was the weekend?
Oh, it's been rolling. It's been great. It's good. It's been great.
Did you get any golf?
A little rain to keep you honest. That's it. But other than that, it's been great.
Did you get any golf in?
No, I went to a parade.
Okay.
And then went to the cemetery.
Sure.
Which I hope I'm not in within the next couple of years.
Me neither. I think I speak for all Nebraska fans. Well, good. You went to a parade and then the cemetery, and that was in lieu of Memorial Day, and you paid respects. So that's outstanding to do.
Then I had it over to my brother's pole barn, and got some of our moving still going on, so I worked the rest of the day.
Okay,
I was honest.
No, that's fine, Coach. Kept it working. I appreciate that. And Coach, I wanted to start off and ask you about Coach Nick Saban. Saban's been kind of chirping today at SEC spring meetings. Nick isn't happy. I don't think Nick's happy that he's talking to the media. And I don't think Nick's happy about some of the things he seems to be worrying about that he'll probably be fine defending come September. But Nick's just kind of a warrior, and he's great. I wanted to get your thoughts here on the run-pass option that you see in college football. And you know what that is with the quarterback based on a play, whether it's a pass play, he can turn it into a run, or if it's a run play, he can turn it into a pass with a hand signal to a wideout. I mean, and the thing that Saban's upset about is there's no answer for it, no solution, because the defender doesn't have the keys to read that's necessary when it's a run or a pass game. How did you deal with semblance or instances of that when you were coaching the run-pass option that you saw a lot of with some of the option teams, be it Colorado or Oklahoma?
Well, it's kind of funny because they run it completely different now. In other words, they're going to come down the line and fire the ball,
right,
you know, as they're coming. And what ours pretty much was where we – fake to the back and then come down a little bit and then go back into the backfield about three steps and then fire it. But what happens is on all of that the option is a disciplined defense. In other words, you have to be disciplined, and you really have to play the run first. And that's where we were really good at. I think if you look at the end of the year, and a lot of our times we might have led the league in touchdown passes and been last in the league in passing.
Sure.
You know, but it was all set up, you know, by the rotation of the backs. And once Coach Osborne found out how they were working back there, then the gun went off. And, you know, nowadays I think I don't, myself. I think if they've got a play, you know, that they can't stop, period, then keep running it. You're gonna have to stop it. And the way you usually stop it is with pressure off the edge and get that quarterback right now. In other words, don't give him a chance to come down the line. You know, so if you're on, for example, if you're on the split end side, it's easier because you don't have a tight end to mess with. And a lot of times, you'd be surprised how many times we would come down off the backside and catch them going the other way from the back.
The backside pursuit?
Yeah. I know how Nick is. I know him fairly well. And you're right. Nick's kind of a worrywart and a guy that, he's getting beat by something. Usually when you get beat by something, put it in yourself.
Well, I think he's starting to because he's got a dual-threat quarterback instead of the pro-style guys. I mean, he's got that freshman that was incredible last year.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Auburn is one of the good ones at that particular play.
They started
At least they have been. And I think that's what happens. With their scheme that they're doing, it just it's something that's hard for them to stop. So they're going to have to just make some adjustments. That's all I know. I don't know the ins and outs of how what the linemen. I assume the linemen are blocking like run, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so it's a hard read. A lot of times safeties will read guards and tackles, depending on what the coach tells you that week is the key. And so a lot of times the safety will play flat. In other words, instead of going deep, he's going to go just like he did, with an option. He'll start flat, and then once he reads it, he got to get his tail going if he's a free safety. So it's I don't know the play well enough, but I've seen it enough, but not taking it apart. But I just think that every time you bring pressure off the edge,
that quarterback's got something to think about. And I mean, whether he throws it or whether he doesn't, because a lot of times you'll see guys, he throws it, then you got a chance to get your hands up and hit it, knock it down.
Sure.
You know, and if he doesn't, then put him to sleep.
Mr.
You know, or whatever.
Blackshirt Charlie McBride with this Hail Varsity Radio Mondays on a Tuesday with Charlie. Yeah, just make him uncomfortable is what you're telling me, Coach. Wanted to ask you about Oregon, and that's one of the teams Nebraska's going to have a chance to go at it with the second week of the year, and Oregon's been overhauled. A lot of athletes, a lot of really talented players, really good running backs, and a new head coach in Taggart that's done well wherever he's been. Mm-hmm. And then I know you being a CU guy, you know a little bit or a lot about Leavitt. What can Leavitt do for that Oregon defense that gave up 40 game last year?
Yeah, well, the thing is he just ran out of people. But he's an attack guy. And so, you know, that's what's, you know, that's probably what's going to come of it. They'll be well disciplined. He's a guy that is the first guy on the field at practice, and he's encouraging kids from the time they step on that field to the time they leave. I mean, he never ran out of gas that I know of.
Yeah.
And he's always been, you know, an aggressive guy, and I know that I've talked to him quite a bit in the past years, and, you know, he really is a guy that likes to, you know, like I was a little bit, we like the kids to have some fun, so just don't stand there and, you know, give them a chance to make a play, give them a chance to get in the backfield, you know, and make something happen. And, you know, he's that kind of a person. But he's very sound, and that's where I think when they were really good, they had a great secondary. I mean, I think two of them or three of them are in the NFL now, and mm-hmm. that's a key to any kind of a pressure defense, because you're playing a lot of man.
No, it is, and I think they're going to go back to a 3-4, which is what they were mm-hmm. before Hoke got in there. So, and they've got athletes. I mean, that's what they'd recruited to up until last year is for the 3-4. But Leavitt, I mean, I think as good as McIntyre was at Colorado, and you saw what they did last year, and they played for a Pac-12 championship. Could you give a lot of credit to what Leavitt did? Because he just, I mean, he had it going down at South Florida, too. I mean, I think he was kind of the heartbeat for them.
He was the motor for the whole team.
That's what I thought.
I tell you, it rubbed off. It rubs off on the offense. When they see those defensive guys flying around, they're thinking, you know what, they're really, they mean business. And that's just the way he is, because he won't just motivate the defensive guys. You know, before practice, on come out on the field, it's everybody. You know, and which is really a good thing to have. You can't have 10 of them doing it or 9 of them doing it. You have one or two guys that are that way, and it's great. Otherwise, you're stepping on each other's toes. And mm-hmm. but he's one of those guys that kind of just takes over, and the players play for him. You know, he. You know, and that's another thing. He gets them, you know, to play for him. He's got a very good personality, you know, and he's not away from complimenting guys, you know, a lot when they do well. You know, some guys just turn their back. Okay, that's it. But you know, he does a good job of that.
Coach, wanted to wrap up with this and kind of get your thoughts on when it comes to punishment and dealing with players who maybe make a mistake. Nebraska had a couple of guys in the news last week. There's been nothing from a court standpoint decided yet, but there's some things that the players and the coaching staff and the athletic department are going to have to think about with moving forward here with Stanley Morgan Jr. and Antonio mm-hmm. Reed. Mm-hmm. How did you communicate and deal with guys who made a mistake and obviously got a second chance? How were you able to be firm but also be yeah. there for them, that balancing act?
Well, we had certain rules that they had to follow, and one of the things is that stay out of the newspaper, because a lot of times you'll find out everything is sounds like, you know, doomsday when you read the paper about what happened, and it may not even be close to what it really is. So that's the one thing, and don't talk about it off the field, off the field, mm-hmm. you know, as coaches. But I think that the first thing, you know, if it was a drug thing, then you went to, you know, outpatient therapy, and then the next one it was 30 days or something of inpatient, and then the next one you're gone. And so there wasn't, at least as far as the marijuana part or mm-hmm. that was, and of course maybe we weren't getting as much of it as they maybe have now, and I can't attest to that, but that's kind of what we did. We have some basic rules, and that was, they were cold. I mean, and I had one day sat down, I think, and counted over the 20, I was there 23 years, we had 5 kids that were removed from the team for various things, whether it's alcohol or drugs or what, you know, type of thing. So in another couple of cases, we had one kid stealing stuff from other players, you know, a freshman that came in, and so that kind of stuff, really, when you're messing with your own players and doing stuff like that, that didn't take long. That they didn't get 3 chances there.
No, I wouldn't imagine that. And Coach, thanks for the insight on that with how it was handled, and sure Nebraska will handle it appropriately moving forward, and we shall see.
Well, there's less talked about it now. I mean, before the coaches really, I think there's some rules, university rules too, right, that you have where you can't talk. You just let the the law do their thing, and then that's about it.
Well, that's in place. Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, and .com. Mondays with Charlie, a special Tuesday episode. Coach, stay healthy and stay warm if you're getting the rain up there. And
we don't get rain anymore. We told it not to.
Okay, so it'll mind what you say. We'll run you down on Monday regular time. It was great to catch up with you.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, all right, bud. Bye. Take care, Coach. There he is. Mondays with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. That's good stuff. The run-pass option stuff I thought was fascinating. Read the comments on social media about Saban going nuts on run-pass option. And you can imagine it in your mind, I think, with Gus Malzahn and Auburn, having a quarterback go down the line like he's going to run, stops, and then throws it to a slot guy. You've seen it. I mean, I think Nebraska tried doing it a couple of times. Beck had a few times it was called in 14. It's not fun to try and stop. Coming up, Pat Casey, Oregon State. Collar 3 and Collar 4 right now, a 6-month subscription for you to HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online experience, message board, community for you, recruiting analysis, breaking news. Collar 3, Collar 4 now, 466-3776, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Collar 3, Collar 4 now with Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and @JMoore44 and @TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Head coach, Oregon State, number one national seed, Pat Casey, is back with us on the show. Coach, congratulations on the season. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Looking forward to getting a good week of practice in here and getting ourselves ready to play in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And, Coach, we talked in late February, and that's right before Nebraska had a chance to play you guys a couple of times down in Surprise. I've read some of the quotes from the past 24 hours, and you're very excited and proud of this team. That said, has it been hard to deprogram these guys now that it is playoff time?
Well, you know, I would hope not. You know, we haven't had a chance to work out, you know, since the selection show. We're going to practice today. And, you know, I know how much we respect everybody coming in here and how much our kids respect just the game of baseball and what it means. And so I think that they will, you know, understand that it's one day at a time, one game at a time, and have that same approach they've had all year long. We got some kids that really, I feel like, don't think any differently, regardless of, you know, where we're playing or who we're playing. And so I feel confident that they will be ready to go.
Pat Casey, a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. What are some of the traits of this team? You saw them at the beginning of the year. You've seen them now at the end of the regular season. What are some of those traits you thought this team had that kind of shone through and followed through with your own expectations?
Well, you know, I think that we've been consistent, you know, with what we've started with. You know, we've tried not to get away from what we can do and who we are. And, you know, we've had enough kids that have been in the program before that I think that they brought a lot of continuity to what we were doing. And I think that we had enough new contributors that they brought some good energy. And I just think the combination of all that stuff worked out well. We certainly have been fortunate and won some games that we certainly could have lost. I think we've relatively been healthy for most of the year, which is always important. You know, I just think that, like I said, we've had the good fortune of the ball bouncing our way, and we've done a pretty good job of, like I said, staying on task of what we try to do and not try to do things that we're not capable of doing.
That's hard in baseball sometimes when you press and you want to try and do too much, and to have a team, it sounds like, Coach, that is aware of that and isn't trying too hard, if that makes sense. It seems to me that that's one of the reasons for your success. What's your culture like? Nebraska fans have had a chance to see you guys in Omaha a lot, and that's kind of the snapshot to just the hustle, the attitude, the grit, and obviously the dominance. But if you were to tell somebody about Oregon State baseball, can you kind of explain the culture, your program, where it comes from you?
You know, like I said, I just think that we look at the program as a big picture, you know, not just a three-year or four-year stop and go. Right. You know, we hope that somebody comes in here and builds relationships and friendships with people for a lifetime. We hope that it's a place they come back to. We hope it's a place they're proud of. We hope it's a place that they, you know, build the foundation for success in whatever area it may be, whether it's playing baseball or teaching. And so, you know, I think that that's the one thing we try to create. You know, we don't try to put too much of an emphasis on one thing as opposed to another. We try to make it, you know, pretty much a well-rounded program where the kid feels like that he has a chance to develop, get better, where he has a chance, like I said, to grow socially, academically. And, you know, it's kind of worked out because you got a lot of kids who come back and encourage other kids to come. And, you know, certainly you need to have success on the field in order for that to have any type of credence to it. And we're playing a great conference. And so, therefore, you know, we get, I think, a lot of visibility when you're playing in the Bay Area or in Los Angeles or in Phoenix or something like that. So we've had some exposure in the right places. And, you know, I don't think that there's any, I think everybody, you know, that's out there that's doing this in any sport, just trying to create some type of a culture or some type of a program that represents who they are. And, you know, everybody has to do it differently. And like I said, I just want it to be something that doesn't start the day you walk in the door and end the day you walk out the door. I hope it starts the day you walk in the door and ends the day that, you know, that you leave the earth. So, you know, we've really been fortunate to have good kids that have bought into that.
Coach, did you know this pitching staff could be this special?
Well, you know, I thought they would be, I thought we'd be solid. You know, we didn't, obviously, I think some guys have made some jumps that we didn't anticipate. I think we had a couple freshman kids throw the ball better maybe early than we thought that they would. You know, I don't know if we went through a year without a pitcher being injured, but knock on wood, we've been able to do that for this year. You know, last year it was, you know, three guys, and the year before was two guys. And so, you know, we've been fortunate in that area. And you just, you know, kids' futures are on the line when you have arm injuries. You just can't risk that. So we had the two guys last year. We lost Drew Rasmussen for the year. Another kid that had a shoulder that we shut him down and just thought, you know, he'd be better. And now he's healthy and ready to go this year. And so, you know, that part's been good, too.
I'm going to ask you about Nebraska, Coach, because that's a common opponent. I know you don't play Nebraska to open up the regional, but your thoughts on Nebraska when you faced them, and a thought or two, if you could, on what Coach Erstad and his staff has done at Nebraska.
Well, first of all, you know, they've done a great job. Darren's great, and his staff are great, great coaches. They do a great job with their kids. We thought they were very good when we played them. We even think they're better now. And you know, I just think that any of these power conferences with teams that win their conference, it's a huge statement for how good you really are. And so I'm happy for them, because I think that they're first class people and they do it right. I think their club is very, very good. And they come from a good league. You know, that's one thing that I would say over the last 5 or 6 years, and certainly helping Nebraska join that, is how good that conference has got, you know, especially, like I said, over the last 5 or 6 years. And I think is a great testament to how good baseball's getting in the Midwest and at the lower levels as well, and then the impact those schools are having to get those kinds of kids to go to school there. So I'm happy for them. I'm not happy for myself that they are coming to our regional. You know, I was hoping that they get shipped somewhere else, but Darren's just good man, and you know, we have, you know, most respect for their program, what they do, and how they do it.
A couple more minutes. Pat Casey is with us, head coach, Oregon State, number one national seed, Nebraska, headed to Corvallis. And Coach, kind enough to give us a few minutes here on Hail Varsity Radio. You are a national seed. You're number one. With that label, do you guys feel pressure or more responsibility, or have you just kind of flushed that? Yeah, it's nice, but you're on to bigger and better things. You're more focused on just controlling what you can do. How do you handle that number one label?
Well, you know, I haven't talked to each kid individually. I would hope that they understand, you know, that's nice, all the things we've all done in the past. Teams have won conference championships before, and people have had good records before, and nobody really cares when you get to the regionals, and you just got to play. And I don't think that there's any added pressure. I just think that, you know, it is what it is. You know, I thought we were a really good team last year. We didn't even get in. So, you know, it sometimes is where, you know, who selects you and how you get in. I think there's an opportunity just for everybody. When I always tell guys this, everybody that gets in the NCAA tournament, and there are teams that should get in, there's just not enough room. Yeah. But everybody that gets in has earned their way in, you know, and that's almost all the time. And so that's a real tribute to every team. And I think every team's on equal ground. And when you start the tournament, I think every team comes out ready to go. And everybody has to be prepared to play. And so I would just tell you that I don't believe there would be any added pressure on our guys. I think that they are well aware of, you know, how difficult that is to win when you get to tournaments, and how difficult it is to sustain the momentum that you have. And hopefully they come out and play with that kind of energy and play with that kind of enthusiasm for the game.
How did you deal with a year ago over this holiday weekend? Because your program's one of the elite in college baseball, and you felt like you did enough to get in. You weren't in. There's some teams this year that got left out that are also, they have quite a resume and history. How did you communicate that, and how did your guys respond? I mean, they responded well, but how did you think they'd respond to last year's situation?
Well, there's a certain disappointment with our guys, and I think in particular for the guys that did not get the opportunity to play in it, that aren't here now. I mean, I think that was the big thing when I looked at some of those guys that I saw were going to walk out the door, and they were going to be drafted and they weren't going to play anymore. Our kids had graduated, and I thought that, you know, I do know it's tough decisions, and so, you know, therefore, you know, I we didn't. We just used the metrics to use, and we finished and tied virtually with a team in our conference that we had swept, and had, you know, taken every metric that's used and been better. We felt like we should have got in, but I don't think that was you know, hey, we're upset with the NC2A. Hey, we're upset with the committee. Hey, you know, we're on some, you know, revenge tour. I just think that for me it was difficult because of the guys that worked so hard to have that opportunity to get, did not get that opportunity. And like you said, there's other teams out there that are like that as well. And there's just not enough room for probably all the worthy teams. And so, you know, I do think that it's a factor for some guys is how they prepared maybe in the off season, but I don't think it was an overriding factor as to how what we wanted to accomplish. And so I personally, you know, it personally bothered me just because of the fact that I knew some of the kids that had really, Logan Ice comes to mind, a kid that was a second round draft pick that worked so hard to become a player. And, you know, he was not going to get that opportunity to do that. So that part was frustrating. But here again, you know, we're not the only team in the country that's in any sport that hasn't had been let down at the end of the year. And so you move forward. And I think our guys handled that well.
Coach, about 60 seconds. Can you describe the energy and atmosphere that'll be out in Corvallis Wednesday?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think our guys, I think our crowd, you know, shows up all the time. So for us, it's kind of just, you know, another ballpark, another day. For us, you know, I think that our conference as a whole, you know, that's one area I think we could improve on is, you know, sometimes you get in those big metropolitan areas and there's a lot of things to do. Maybe you don't get quite the crowds you could get at some of these other small ballparks and some of these, you know, college towns like Oregon State is a college town. And so, you know, that's what people like to do, and I'm sure they're going to be excited, and they're good. You know, I mean, I think they're a good crowd. I think they're good people. I think that they really understand the game, and I think that, you know, that it's a fun place to play. It's you know, everything here we have built from the ground up since I've been here. We had old wooden bleachers that were rotted through and an old plywood box for a box. Dealer took a ladder to get up to when I got here. And so everything we've done, we've went out and fundraised on our own as a program and as a committee with a bunch of Oregon State backers, and we're proud of that. So it's just a fun place, I think, to play, and it certainly is for us.
Coach, best of luck, and it'll be a great weekend for baseball. Thanks for giving us a few minutes again.
Hey, always good, man. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Big thanks to Pat Casey, Oregon State, top seed nationally. And hopefully Nebraska will have a date with them on Saturday in the winner's bracket of the Corvallis Regional. So I was kind of enthralled with the Bryce Harper, Hunter Strickland, WWE showdown. And Bryce got some shots in there. I'm not a Bryce Harper guy.
He missed the helmet throw, though, for sure.
Listen, you ever been so mad? You ever been so mad? You've tried to chuck something and you whiffed it?
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I've been so just angry.
But that's your job, Major League Baseball players, to throw something
well, and
very
thankfully,
far and accurately.
His job is to hit the cutoff man, not hit the guy he's trying to beat the crap out of.
True.
So Bryce Harper, a 4-game suspension. Hunter Strickland, 6. This thing goes back 3 years.
Yeah. Talk about a grudge, man.
Well, what's...
Give listen, it up.
Okay, you tell me this. I'm gonna go pro and con here.
Okay.
Both sides. One, if you're Bryce, you're kind of seen as a punk. You're extremely talented, but I think there's a lot of people who think you're a punk.
Because he shows emotion while playing baseball? God forbid.
Emotion's fine, but there's ways to show emotion. Like, I don't know, if you won a championship, you can jump up and down. If you do a walk-off, give me a little bit of emotion.
A little? A game winner? You can't show a lot of emotion?
Well, there's time and place. Postseason versus...
See, why does it have to be rules for how much amount of emotion you show?
Just,
like,
listen, I don't make the rules. It's just how baseball is.
I know, and I hate it.
Okay, and the more 25-year-old Harpers you have in here, the more things will change. And it won't be get off my lawn Schmidt talking about the unwritten rules of baseball. You just don't be a punk. Act like you've been there. Now, if you're Harper, though, Come on now, 3 years? He hasn't hit one off you since and shown you up. And I'm sure Bochy, being the king of all hard asses, 3 years ago was like, you know, I'd punish that boy. Here is Hunter Strickland reacting to Harper. Coming into his real estate. Cut 12. It's go time, bro.
It's go time. I mean, it's just you got to protect yourself and stand your own ground, you know. I was pretty fired up, to be honest with you, you know, but that's just adrenaline and you know, it's part of the game.
Thank you, Bubba. Not as fired up as Bryce was. I mean, listen, you don't lose that type of control, but listen, it's not intentional, says Hunter.
I can see how that kind of stands in people's minds, you know, but that's the past. You know, like I said, I left the ball over the plate a couple of times to him. He's taking advantage of that. So, you know, obviously I'd rather miss in than over the plate.
See, it's all explained away.
Yeah,
sure I'd rather miss inside than out and away so we can go oppo and crush it.
Dude, like,
come on,
he pimped a home run on you. You know what? If you don't want him to do that, why don't you pitch better? Why don't you throw some strikes? Why don't you strike him out? And then maybe you can show a little emotion if you want.
Here's the thing.
Like, man.
Or you can throw at him, intimidate him, and he can take his base like he's supposed to.
Yeah, I think as a fan, I'd rather get the out than let the guy get on base for a potential run. Like, come on,
double
guy.
Play ball. Here's the thing. Did you see how far that thing caromed off his hip?
Oh, yeah.
It was, what, 98?
Harper, man.
Okay, now, here's Bryce, cut 15. And his point on this is accurate about what's actually being thrown at him.
Baseball's a weapon, and, you know, be able to use that to his advantage. You know, I guess that's just, you know, what do you want to do in that situation? You never want to get suspended or anything like that, but sometimes you just got to go and get him, and you can't hesitate. Either you go to first base or, you know, you go after him, and I decided to go after him.
Here's the thing. Hunter Strickland had several seasons to think about how he'll react and pitch to Bryce Harper.
Yeah, this was premeditated.
Three. And Bryce had, what, 5 seconds, 10 seconds to react?
Mm-hmm.
Here is Bryce Harper on why he reacted, cut 14, the way he did. And he pretty honest here with this.
I was trying to go after him. I mean, not, you know, with a helmet or, you know, just myself and just trying to, you know, do what I needed to do to, you know, just keep it going, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I just, in that situation, you see red. I mean, you just try to, you know, do the best you can and get out of there and not get crushed by, you know, one of their teammates coming in.
And it got...
And teammates did get crushed.
It got funky.
Samardzija.
Here's the thing. I give him credit for just going all in as quickly as he did, being so angry that the helmet toss is what's remembered, not the fact he did land a couple of giant crushing shots, the 1-2 combos. I look at this as him going, A, are you trying to ruin my career? B, ow, that hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do everything I can to inflict pain back upon you.
Oh, for sure. I mean, him getting hit like that, he instantly knew what this was about. This was about 3 years ago. And he's like, all right, it's time to go. I think one of your favorite parts was Buster Posey. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I saw this on social media, too, and I kind of thought about it, and I got to give Shafe credit this because Shafe's a huge baseball guy. Posey's just chilling.
Oh, yeah.
And that says to me that the guy who's had to come back from a severe knee injury on a collision at home plate, Buster Posey, great hitter, fantastic catcher, heartbeat of the world championships, for him to sit this one out.
Yeah, I think he knew his own teammate was wrong.
Exactly. Now, that's something to dive into a little further. Are you in support of Buster here sitting one out?
I'm fine. I'm just fine with it, like Madison Bumgarner, too, who's on the DL. Don't get anywhere near out there, dude.
No.
You're too valuable.
Well,
hang back.
I think it comes down to the baseball police not supporting – there's a, if you know your teammates wrong, I think it takes incredible stones to go against the grain in that aspect.
For sure.
And Posey's, and you have to have some clout to do it.
Yeah, and I think Buster Posey's well-respected enough to do that.
Sure. I mean, he's like, what is this? Harper may be a screwball, but you don't need to try and cave his hip in.
Because now, am I going to be the one getting the beanball? You know, are they going to retaliate and throw at me?
Because I'm kind of the face of the team.
Yeah, and I'm on the Giants.
The other side of that. Last thought here from Bryce on the past, what stemmed this beanball war and a 4-game suspension for Bryce and a 6-game for Hunter Strickland.
I don't want to, you know, go on a baseball field and try to fight somebody, you know, and especially when it's someone that it's in the past, you know, it's so in the past that it's not even relevant anymore. You know, like I said, it's they won the World Series that year, and I don't even think he should be thinking about, you know, what happened in the first round. He should be thinking about wearing that ring home every single night.
Here's how you need to think and feel. You're a champion. Act like one. So that's what kind of swept up. Pretty good game. Weird game one in the Stanley Cup Finals. I watched that, but I was when SportsCenter was on, this fight was pretty sweet just because guys actually landed punches. But don't do it at home, kids. We'll say goodbye next on a Tuesday edition of Hail Varsity.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Looking like a following week for Jay. He's slammed with his other gigs, so we'll probably see him next week sometime. Holding out hope that he makes it in this week. Big thanks to Charlie McBride and Mitch Sherman and head coach at Oregon State, Pat Casey. Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. Tomorrow on the program, part of the offensive line for Washington, Spencer Long going to join us. Ben Miller going to be with us. Mike Babcock, Babbers, will join us. And then Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, plenty of Tiger talk. We'll catch up with Shuey. Got to see him yesterday. Was swinging the clubs and hitting it into the water at Wilderness, but it was tons of fun. So news that Viking fan T.J. Henning has passed along. Congratulations to Tommy Armstrong. Part of the 90-man roster with Minnesota. So the Vikings weren't lying to him. They just made him wait a little bit as OTAs will get back at it with Minnesota this week. So Tommy Armstrong back with the Vikings, signing a free agent deal with the Vikings. So congratulations to him.
Yep, as a safety, they're saying. So
yeah.
Instead of he'll be trying to pick off interceptions now.
Sure. That's what you want. So good for Tommy Armstrong. So I am nervous. Baseball doubleheader with the Lincoln A's going on as we speak. Started at 5 because the other team can't figure out their scheduling, so supposed to be a 6 o'clock start, 5 o'clock start. So hopefully Junior's 3 for 4. And my helicoptering presence has allowed him to play freer.
It's maybe.
My hope.
So I hit the clubs first time since I got them for my birthday last May. Went to the driving range with my brother on Memorial Day, and pretty awful. I hit one straight. Otherwise, if I did hit them, they were all slicing.
That happens.
But my brother's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'd rather have you slice them than just, you know, make contact. So yeah. There was some whiffing, but that's all right. I've golfed twice in the last 14
swinging?
Years. The problem was I wasn't keeping my head down.
Ah, the topper.
Yeah. So
that can tend to happen.
That's what I got to work on. Work on the old swing.
Yeah, no.
Takes time.
Had fun. Uncle Nate, Uncle Mark, and Papa Bear. We went yesterday morning early.
Nice.
Good. It's good. Thanks to you for tuning in to Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Tomorrow, excited to talk with Spencer Long. If you missed the Pat Casey interview, Oregon State head coach, you can log on HailVarsity.com, go to iTunes, or the ESPN 1480 app. That's free to download and for you to take with you wherever you want to grab phenomenal ESPN programming, local shows with Hale Varsity and Greg Ethan Smith. So check that out, the ESPN 1480 app. Easy access to all the podcasts. TJ Heading, thank you. And a big thanks to Mitch Sherman and Coach Charlie McBride. Great stuff from Coach McBride on the run-pass option, how you stop that as a defense, and what Oregon's got defensively with Coach Levitt. So a great conversation with Mr. Blackshirt. Back with you tomorrow at 4 on Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good evening.